Are you ready for the Word of God? All right. If you're ready for the Word of God, please turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 28. It's New Testament, Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Today we're continuing in our topic called Jesus and Demons, or Demonology 3D. And today we're looking at demons again. And some of you are like, why did we even pick this topic? Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't pick this topic. Holy Spirit did. We're just going through the Bible, and here it is. And we're not going to skip it. Because we're not freaked out about, you know, demons. We're just going to tackle it head on, and everybody's going to be okay. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about who are demons, what do they want from people, and how to fight and win. Now, we might not get to how to fight and win till next Sunday, okay? But today we're going to for sure know who are demons and what do they want from people and how do they affect our daily life. Amen? All right, let's read this. Now, this is a story where Jesus is just beginning his ministry. He's about 30 years old. We don't know a lot about what happened to Jesus when he was a kid. We just know that he grew in wisdom and people loved Jesus. He was a pretty lovable guy, okay? And so here is about 30 years old, and he goes and starts preaching in the synagogue. Synagogue is an equivalent of today's church. Amen? And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered a synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. Now there was a man in a synagogue with an unclean spirit. Notice Bible has different names for demons. Unclean spirit, demons, Satan, Lucifer, what else? Serpent, snake, beast, Antichrist, viper. Bible uses all these different names so different type of people can understand and relate. When you think of a viper, you don't think of a car. Well, in our day you do, but in those days you think about something that's going to sting you and you're going to die. When you think about serpent, a lion, a roaring lion seeking to devour, people understood because people dealt with those things in that time that Jesus was preaching. And so Bible uses many different names. And listen to this again. And now there was a man in their church who had an unclean spirit. And he cried out. Okay? Now you're probably thinking of some movie you saw. You know, some demon spirits crying out. Well, it's kind of based on the truth. Now, do you believe the Bible or no? Because if we don't believe this, we're going to call this some kind of a mental condition, and we're going to use some medical term, you know, to describe this. But if you believe the Bible, and you know that Jesus is the creator of the world, he knows everything, past, present, and future, then Jesus knew that it was a demon. It wasn't some brain damage condition, okay? It was a real person living in another person. Okay, and this man was in the synagogue, an unclean spirit cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" So listen to this. Demon is calling Jesus something that no one else knows yet. Remember, this is the first sermon Jesus is preaching in a synagogue. And here the demon-possessed person, demon using the voice of a person, says, "Let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Now, don't freak out here. I'm going to use, you know, drama and stuff, dramatic skills and whatever I have and to tell you this. But it was serious. He cried out. He wasn't quiet. He didn't come to say, "Hey, Jesus, what are you doing here, buddy? Chill, let us alone. Or I just will have to take you out of our church." No, he cried out. "What are you doing here, Jesus? Let us alone. Leave me alone." I think he was scared. I think the demon was coming against the wall and saying, "Leave me alone, Jesus." It was. And you just got to know that when there's spiritual forces involved, it doesn't just affect your hearing. It affects your spirit as well. So people who were there were able to feel him not only with their ears or see him with their eyes. They were able to feel him with their spirit. Okay? And probably most of them were freaking out. And if you ever encounter a demon-possessed person, you'll freak out too. Especially if that demon-possessed person will start telling you things about you. Okay? Are you with me still? Everybody? All right. So he says, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Now, obviously we know Jesus wasn't going to hurt a man in a synagogue. Now, but there was something inside of a man said, why did you come to destroy us? Now, if you know the Bible, what does the Bible say? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So really, there's something that Jesus did came to destroy, and that's the devil. And the devil knew that before all the people in the synagogue, in that church, knew it. The demon possessed, this tells us the demons have superior knowledge, perception, vision. Notice what he says, let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Now you know another demon won't come to destroy a demon. So you know something holy came in. This is just the proof of how holy Jesus is. He says, why did you come? He was evil spirit. That means Jesus was a good spirit. Good and evil always clash. Evil and evil join forces. Good and evil clash. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. And listen what the demon names him. The Holy One. A name above all to his own. Have you been ever called the Holy One of God? I've never been called that. I've been called a lot of names, but not that. The Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him saying, quiet. So he says to him, quiet. I don't need you to tell me who I am. I don't need you to be my advertiser. I already had one. That's John the Baptist. That's the angel that announced my coming. That's the Father who said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But I don't need a demon telling people who I am. I don't need. And so he says, listen, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed. Now notice, the Bible says unclean spirit. What do you think when you think unclean? Perverse? What's unclean? Sinful? Maybe sexual sin? Right? Unclean. It wasn't clean. Now, God is holy. It means pure. This is unclean. So whenever you deal, listen to me, whenever you deal with evil spirits, you're dealing with uncleanness. That's why when you When you do something the devil kind of pushed you towards doing, you feel what? Unclean. You can be partying all night and feeling good. Grinding and all that stuff. But listen, in the morning you'll feel dirty. You almost want to take a shower. I've been there, come on. Maybe not to the point, but I've been when I partied all night and been in the presence of people I really didn't want to be with, and I felt dirty. And even if you don't believe in Jesus, you still feel dirty. Uncleanness. See, Satan offers you this lustful picture and it looks good and you go towards it. But then in the morning you feel bad. Something is wrong with your spirit. And so Jesus says, come out of him. An unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, what is this? What is this doctrine what new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And listen to this. And immediately his fame spread through all the region around Galilee. Amen. Hallelujah. My desire today, through this message, is that you would grow closer to Jesus. When you grow closer to Jesus, you grow farther from the devil and his works, from the world and his works. My desire is that each and every one of you who's here in this place, who's listening to me, that you would mature in your faith. Now, what does it mean? What does it look like when a person is maturing in his faith? Well, the question you should ask yourself, am I reading the Word of God and do I pray on a regular basis, daily? Second question, is my personal evangelism growing? Now, why is personal evangelism such a sign or a symbol of your spiritual growth? Because when you're passionate about God, guess what? You can't hold it to yourself. You want to tell other people. And people at work, you have so many opportunities to minister to different people. You will be surprised if you open yourself. If you're passionate, if you're growing in a relationship with Jesus, I'm telling you, you cannot hold it inside. The passion will start spilling out. You will begin to tell other people about Him. So if you want to know if you're growing in your relationship with God, ask yourself, am I passionate about telling other people about Jesus? Third sign is your giving, because that shows your unselfishness. Is your giving regular? Are you a giver? Are you a giver? Are you a sacrificial giver? Or you just live for yourself? Everything is about yourself. The sign of a person's spiritual maturity is, are they giving? Now, that's not just money or to the church. It's just being a giver. Church is one of it. And I know right now that if we look at our church, could I spill you some secrets? Church inside stuff. Right now, we have about half of people who don't give at all. Half of the people don't give at all. Now, we have a lot of big donors in the church who cover, you know, and we don't have financial problems. No, that's not about that. But we have a lot of people who give big chunks of money, and I want to thank you for that. But listen, my goal is not just for 3 or 5 or 10 people here to give big chunks and cover the rest. The sign of spiritual maturity that our church is growing is that everyone is giving. I know you didn't think that half of people don't give here, but that's true. If you look at our statistics and our weekly offering, we have a lot of income, but it only comes from few people. Because a lot of people just don't give. And I know that some of you don't have a job, and that's okay. But you know what? We teach our kids in the nursery and Sunday school that they should be givers. I already teach my kids. When we drive to school, I said, let's talk about money, kids. You ever talk about money? That's the biggest problem we have, but that's the least thing we want to talk about. So there's a problem, correct? So I tell my kids, money is like a bird. If you don't keep it in a cage, it will fly away. How many of you know that? And they're like, what does that mean, Dad? I said, well, if you go into the mall, and if you don't keep your money in the cage, it'll want to buy everything and leave you. It doesn't matter how it flies away. It just still leaves you. So you got to be smart with it. So they asked me, what do they do with their money? I said, you have to give 10 to God and save 10, and then you can spend the rest and feel good about it. Amen? Right now, as you know, we're finishing the downstairs coffee game room type place. And we need about $5,000. We need to raise $5,000 to put flat screen TVs up there, put a stage, some musical instruments, buy some more video games and things. So young people, and our church is mostly young people, could come there during the week and just hang out. Yeah. So we need everybody to pitch in. It's not just 3 or 10 people who are just, you know, sacrificial givers in our church. But it's everybody. You know, thank you all the sacrificial givers, but I'd rather have everybody give, you know, evenly or up to their ability.
than just three people. What happens if a big giver leaves the church?
We struggle. Come on, makes sense, right? That's why I'd rather have everybody give than just few people. Amen? So are you giving sacrificially? Or do you spend more money on your breakfast than you do here? Now, I'm not beating you up. I love you guys, right? But sign of a spiritual maturity is that I become a giver. That's a sign. Now, I'm not asking you to give huge money, but the easiest time to give money is when you make a dollar, you give 10 cents. Because some people say, well, when I make $100,000, I'll give 10 grand. Yeah, right. That money will be spent before you can give. I know how it is. I've been there. It's easier to start when you make $100 and give in 10 than when you make $1 million and you have to give $100,000. And if you learn to live without 10%, you learn to live without 20%. And imagine the kind of security, peace of mind you have if you have 10% saved up. Some of you make great money up here. But you live on 110% of your income. Of course you can't give. And if you need help, please come to us and we will counsel with you. We have people in the church who are great with money and they will help you. Amen. Hallelujah. So sign of a spiritual maturity is, are you daily in prayer and in the Word of God? Two, what is it? Evangelism. Are you personally passionate about your faith to the point where you want to tell other people? Sign three of your spiritual maturity is what? You're giving. Now four of your spiritual maturity, are you serving? Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to become a servant. Now I know I have to kind of plug this in, but the reason we're preaching, the reason we're here, church is a school, people. I want you to learn. I want you to know where you're going. I want you to gauge yourself, where you stand. How is your maturity today in Jesus Christ? Back to demons. Two ways people look at demons. Two ways you look at demons. Some of you here ignore them and think they don't exist. And if I speak about this, you're trying to tune out. You don't want to hear about demons. Others of you are obsessed about demons. You love demonic movies. You see demons in everything. If you come in a room, you smell something. I smell a demon. You're just all about demons. Your coffee is too hot. Well, hell is hot. My coffee is hot. That means that's a demon. You know, you see a smoking demon, a drinking demon. You see a eating demon. Everything is just demons. And those are two extremes. Some of you are too smart, and you're going to community college, and you think, well, no, we don't believe in that. We're above that, you know. But when we read the Bible, we see that Jesus believed in demons, and He's the creator of the world. He's the creator of psychology, philosophy, and everything else. Amen? And He believed in them. And He cast them out, and they were afraid of Him. Leave us alone, they said to him. Let me give you an example. How many of you ever seen a garden that somebody planted or you planted that never had any weeds? Anybody? You did? I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I respect you, but I don't believe that. Anytime you plant a garden, what will happen? There will be weeds. So it's naive to think that a human being could live a life without ever having weeds. Demons are like weeds. In your garden, you don't want them. Do you remember what Jesus said? A man sown a field full of seed, and at night Satan came and sowed weeds. Demons. Satan likes to plant demons in the church. He likes to plant demons at your work. He likes to place demons at your house. How many of you ever never had a problem in your family? Never had an argument or a fight? No, it never happens. Yeah, come on. We got a princess here. Everything is perfect. So just like a garden cannot be without weeds, So a human life, a person's Christian's life, cannot be without demons somewhere being there. Now, when you think of demons, you probably think of a Satan standing there with horns, with a big tail, with a fork, you know. That's not what I'm talking about, demons. That's not, today you will have a different perception about demons. Watch this. So, who are demons? Do you want to know who are demons? Demons are fallen angels who rebelled against God with Lucifer. So demons are fallen angels who rebelled against God with Lucifer. Oh, sometimes I'm jealous of you people who don't have an accent. Oh, man. I just feel like I have a thorn in my tongue. You know, like I have a... Some of you put that for a purpose in there, for a reason. You know, you put a... What do you call that? A piercing. Listen, man, how I wish somebody would take that thorn away. But it's okay. It was given to me. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so demons are fallen angels. Now, how many of you know Lucifer was an archangel? God created Lucifer to be a beautiful being. Bible says in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, it's talking about Satan being the top of God creation almost, or from angels. What's that? Yes, when he would walk, have you ever seen a duck walking and he quacks? Quack, 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 quack. You know, when Lucifer, he was such a beautiful angel, when he walked, he would create musical sounds. Sounds of the most beautiful symphony would come out of him. That was the cymbals, trumpets, all kinds of things. If you want to read more, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He was in the presence of God, and he was some say that he was a worship leader of heaven. I mean, and why not? Bible says that his clothes was full of rubies, diamonds. Whenever he was in the presence of God, this would happen. The presence of God would shine because God is light. And he was full of all kinds of different diamonds and rubies and all kinds of, you know, gems. His clothes was full. So he would shine. How many of you ever read Shack? The Shack book, The Shack? In there it talks about how people have clothes full of, you know, rubies and diamonds. And whenever people move, they shine. Isn't that beautiful? You got to read that book. If I got it on audio, so if you want it, that's... I don't really like to read books anymore since the audio. I just love audio. It works for me. And so Satan was a beautiful being. And somehow, see, how is it that a created being thinks that he could overpower the creator? Well, it's like thinking like this. LeVar, you have a son, right? He's small. And let's say he grows up to be 4 or 5 years old and he says, Dad, I could now rule this place, this house. You know? Now, how can that happen? Have you ever thought about it? How dared Satan even think that he could come against God and take his throne? That was his desire. He was so beautiful, Bible says, that he got proud. The greatest sin is pride. The greatest sin of church and religious people is pride. And so Satan got so proud, being in heaven, always being around the throne of God, always shining, always being the worship leader, all the angels would be like, hey, Lucifer, how you doing? I love your music this Sunday, ha! Man, that tune you did, oh, nobody else could do it. And Lucifer got so proud. Now, that talks to me about God. That just, pride of Lucifer tells me something about God. What does it tell you about God? That God is humble. If God was all that and a bag of chips, Lucifer would never even dare. Listen to me carefully here. God is so humble. He wouldn't expect you to be humble if he wasn't humble himself. And Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus is a great picture of humility. Now, if God was all this huge, big guy, you know, I mean, I want
step up here. If God was like, hey,
everybody would be like, hey. And Lucifer would be like this. But since God is not trying to show off all his power, Lucifer thought, well, look at me, how beautiful I am. And God is so humble, so, you know, meek, and I could probably be God. I could probably be better God. Look at it. God doesn't even sing. Oh, God doesn't do all the cool stuff I can do. And so what happens is, and God can sing, we know that, but because we created in his image. Can you sing? Yeah, whatever you can do, God can do better. How many percent of your brain do you use? You, over here. You should know that. Are you right there? How much humans use of their brain? Guess. 5%? 10%? So if you only use 10% of your brain, you're only one-tenth of what you could be. But you were created in the image of God, not in 10% of brain capacity, but of 100% of brain capacity. So even your 100% of brain capacity is not going to match up to God. Hallelujah. And Lucifer, because God is humble, remember, that's why people say, if God, if you don't like what I do, strike me now, God. Have you seen Bruce Almighty? Come on, you big smiter, smite me now. And God says, I'm humble enough not to smite you. Now, if it was one of you or me, you'd be like, yeah, I'll show you. At least one in a million who asked, you know. At least strike one of the out of the millions who asked. But God says, I don't have to. Did you notice that God doesn't have to prove himself? People curse him and they call him bad names to his face and he's just on the throne and he's like, okay. Right? God is humble. And Satan, count humility as God's weakness. Never count humility for weakness. If you think humility is a weakness, it's not. It's strength under control. It's total strength being able to control. A person who has a lot of strength but can't control it is useless. Have you seen a big black stallion horse? Talking about horse. Out of control. He's no good. But when they put, you know, those muzzle, whatever, in his mouth and start and get him under control, then he's useful for the master. So God has all this power and authority that Bible says he could destroy this universe in no time, and he just controls that. And there's people who tell him every day, I don't believe in you, you're not there, I don't care. And God says, okay, I'm okay with that. People say, I don't want to believe in you. Yeah, you can do all whatever you want for me. God is humble. And we have to look like God. Now, you can never say in your life, it doesn't matter how humble you are, that I'm now humble. That's it. I need to be more humble. Because if you say that, that's pride already. I could never say I'm humble. Now, I'm more humble than I used to be. But I got a long way to go. Amen. Oh. Quarter way of my sermon. Come on. we're gonna get done. Don't worry. So when Satan fell, when he came to God, and he said, God, now your turn is done. My turn to rule. Bible says that God cast him out of heaven. But see, Satan, he's smart. He didn't only do that himself. He had one third of the angels that were under his rule. Because he was the archangel. He was the general agent, angel, who had all these other angels under his rule. And he took them with him. So I imagine he came to God and said this, God, look at all these people, angels following me. We come to take you down. We come to take you down. And God says, oh yeah. And he just cast them. And where he cast them, the Bible says there's three heavens, right? In the Paul says I've seen three heavens. He cast them into not the heavenly realm, but the universe and the spiritual realm. He cast them down there. And just listen how it all works out. Okay? There's a picture how it all works out. So demons are fallen angels. Now, one of the instruments Satan still uses is music. Because he is great at that. Oh, he loves using music. Now, and some people say that now we become worshipers. Because Satan fell, he doesn't worship God anymore. God created us to be his worshipers. And we're not as good. Some of us don't have as good of a sound or voice or ability. But God says, I created you as worship. Another sign of your spiritual growth. How do you worship God? And some of you think Pastor Alex is crazy, you know, yelling all, you know, on the front row, worshiping God. Worshiping is actually a humbling act. Do you know that we are all worshipers at all time? Humans? It's not whether you worship, it's who you worship. Some people worship their girlfriend, boyfriend. Some worship money. Some worship technology. Some worship, you know, nature. Who you worshiping? It's not if you are a worshiper. It's who do you worship? And some of you are more excited. And I've been to the bar, sports bar, and I've seen how people worship their favorite football stars or basketball stars or baseball stars. They just yell in there. Have you been there? Have you ever been there? You know, you can tell by spending a few minutes with a person who do they worship. Some worship their businesses. And we're worshipers all the time. It's just who do we worship? And so when I come here, I want to make sure that I worship God more than I worship my business or the money or the equipment or toys that I like or fishing or beautiful things or nature. I want to make sure that I worship God more than all those things. Than your motorcycle, than your car, than your house. Everybody is a worshiper. It's not the matter if you worship. It's just who do you worship. If you come to church and you don't want to worship God, I could pretty much tell you that you worship other things and you love them better. And that's what you know. And a lot of us, we're such a Christians. Listen to me. A lot of us, we're such a good Christians if you ask. But your works, your behavior shows otherwise. My behavior shows otherwise. So don't judge me when I start jumping around and swinging on chandeliers here on worship nights or whatever. Because I want to show myself. I want to humble myself. And worshiping takes humbling. Because you have to. David, remember how he humbled himself? He pretty much undressed. Now he wasn't naked, but he pretty much undressed. That's how he worshiped God. He said, I don't want to worship gold or women or anything else. I want to worship God. The point where people started laughing at him. His own wife laughed him to the point where he said, how dare you, king? How shameful. Man, you embarrassed me today. You undressed and started worshiping like a lunatic. And God said, and God closed her womb. She couldn't have any kids. Read the Bible. So demons are fallen angels, fell with Lucifer. Demons are personal beings and not impersonal like cold. How many of you know frost is impersonal being? Have you ever been outside in South Dakota in the middle of the winter? It's minus 20. It's minus 20 everywhere. It's cold, right? But cold is it's impersonal. It hits everybody, but yet it's impersonal, right? Well, demons are personal beings, meaning they have a character, they have abilities, they have rank. How many of you know that demons have princes and rulers over them? They're not just roaming around like a force or a power, that like gravity. It's not like gravity. Demons are personal. There is princes of demons, there is generals, there's ranks of demons. Now we're going somewhere, Now, knowledge is power. Well, knowledge applied is power. How many of you know that? Okay. Are you still with me, guys? Are you okay? Do we need a little stand up, sit down exercise thing? Okay, stand up. Let me get a drink. No, stand up. It's yours. Now I'm going to test your worship. I want you to do something. No, this is serious. How about we sing? Jesus loves me, this I know. Let's do it. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little. When I'm weak, then He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Big finish! Sit down. Woke some of you up, didn't it? Is it warm here or is it me? Hey, make it cooler. Thanks. Some of you were embarrassed. That's okay. We're working on it. You're maturing slowly, but it's happening. You're here, right? All right. Demons. Third, demons have great power. Do you know that demons are powerful? Even more powerful than humans. Do you know that? Now, remember Jesus came to the town of Gadarene, and there was a man possessed by demons. Bible says that they tried to tie him with chains, and chains wouldn't hold this man. Do you remember a man who was demon possessed, and seven men of a priest came to cast him out? Remember that story in Acts? And they said, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches." And this demon possessed man attacked these men. He said this to them, "I know Paul." Notice, Paul was known. Are you known? He said, "I know Paul and I know Jesus." No, I heard of Paul and I know Jesus. So in a demonic world, there was news, demonic news time, demonic times. Okay? And they were talking, DNN, yeah. Demon News Network. And they were talking to one another in the spirit. They were saying, "Have you heard of Paul? Watch out for that guy." And obviously they knew of Jesus. Jesus was really dangerous. And so what happened was, he said, "I know Paul, I heard of Paul, and I know Jesus, but who are you?" And he attacked them so much, I think he sexually abused them. I believe it. I know that. Why? How did they run out? He didn't just beat him up physically. Now notice they're dirty demons. They're unclean spirits. The sign, why didn't he just beat him up? Why have to take their clothes off? If you're in prison and you got beat up and taking clothes, your clothes being taken off, now don't think about it. Just kind of, you know, something happened. So this demon-possessed man beat him up, abused them mentally, physically, and probably sexually. Don't mess. See, demons are strong. Now, but notice the problem. These people didn't know Jesus, and they were trying to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. He said, "I know Paul. I heard of Paul, and I know Jesus. But you don't know Jesus. So watch what I'm going to do to you." So never go casting out demons if you don't know Jesus. A man came here once, and he said, "I am a demon fighter." How many of you know that? I'm a warlock. I'm a demon. And some of them are, I actually beat him up. And he said he fights at night. I don't know how he does it. And he said, "I fight demons, but some of them are too strong and they're getting at me. They don't give me peace. So would you pray for me?" He was a demon hunter. That's right. That's what he said. And get back to this. Now, demons are spirits without physical body. Now, so if some of you are afraid of demons, they cannot come over and slap you. A I want to tell you a freaky story that happened. I got into a car accident by YMCA, and I thought I went on green light, and a guy just hit me in the side, almost hit my gas tank, right on my big dump truck, almost hit the gas tanks. You know, they're open up there. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just starting in business, and this is kind of a freaky thing. You know, I don't want to pay this guy. And he was driving a brand new Suburban. And he was saying that I went on red light and he hit me. You know, I was going east on 10th Street by YMCA, and he was going north on Minnesota and hit me right from my right side. Okay? And a man, an older man in a kind of a hat, not like this ball cap, but just a hat, came over. He came to the police officer and said, I saw everything. This man went on red light. The other guy went on red light. And this guy, talking about me, he went on green light. I saw it. And I'm like, okay. I was so happy. The cops were like, well, we have witnesses, you know, so, sir, you getting ticketed, me, you're getting free. Like, yes. Now, I go to the police officer after he does the report. And actually, no. A police officer comes to me and says, where is that man that, you know, that was a witness? I need to write him in the report. And I don't know. I'm looking around and I don't see him. He disappeared. So after a while, I go back to the police officer and I say, where is that man? What's his name? Where does he live? I want to call him and thank him for actually stopping and saying that I didn't go on a red light. Nobody knew. And at that moment, I swear I had a feeling that it was the angel of God just came. Remember, the angel of the Lord surrounds those who love him and deliver them from trouble. You know that you are surrounded by angels? You are. And he's there to deliver you. And this face of a man, I can't see it anymore, but it was older and his face was just nice. I don't know if he was a man or an angel, but I know that there was no report made of him. And I don't know how it happens. Usually cops have to make a report. So I know angels can appear in physical form. In the Bible it says some have, without knowing, entertained angels. Without knowing. Now, demons, on the other hand, after the flood, were cut off. And they're not able to take physical form on their own. They have to possess a body. Right? Is there still demon possessions today? Yeah, it is. There's people who've been so, they just allow the devil in. Now, how do you know if a person is demon possessed? They can't control themselves anymore. Whatever they do, they can't, how do I say this right so you don't freak out? Because for the longest time, when I was a young person, I thought I was demon-possessed. Seriously. Every time I would be nauseous, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's a demon. No, that's not it. Come on. Now, if you're doing something and people are like, you did this, that, and that, and you don't remember it, something took over you. You know, there's people who go into this trance and they start acting out, but they don't remember anything. Okay, that could be demon possession. Most people, how devil does, he oppresses them. Now, I can tell you that demons are not as strong as your human will. They're not. Your mind, your power, your human will is so strong that you can block out demons. You're already doing it. How many of you ever been so angry you wanted to kill somebody? Murder is a spirit of the devil. Why didn't you do it? Because you were able to do what? You resist. But some people were so angry, they kill somebody and they always regret. They're like, why did I do this? They just didn't resist it. Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, what do they want from people? Demons are sent here on assignment to kill, steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest, but Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. So whenever you're playing with the devil, whenever you allow the devil to entertain your thoughts, it's always to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy from you. That's all the assignment of the devil. Now, how many of you ever heard a voice of devil? Of Satan? No? I want to actually change that. I want to tell you that all of you heard demons. Now, how do demons work? They work through your mind. The greatest battle that happens in the mind. The battle of the mind. Now, you've all heard devil. Have you ever been so angry you were cussing people out in your mind? Have you ever been so offended that you were cursing people in your mind? Were you doing it? No, you knew better. Have you ever tried to stop thoughts or conversations in your mind and you just couldn't? Guess who do it? Demons. Those are demons who are assigned to kill, steal, and destroy. You've all heard demons, but guess what? You resist. You resist the devil. Demons are assigned to attack your self-esteem. A lot of you young people are struggling with self-esteem. And something inside of you. How many of you ever would say about yourself that I'm stupid? Nobody would, right? But how come there's a voice inside of your mind that says you're stupid? You're worthless. You're a failure. Who do you think is doing it, people? It's the devil. It's not you. It's not your mind, you know, attacking you. It's the devil. Demons are assigned to destroy you. How many of you ever thought, I'm so ugly, man. I'm just a defect of nature. I'm just a retard. I'm just, you know, I'm worthless. I'm no good for anything. Do you think it's you? Guys, those are demons speaking. Have you ever had in your thoughts suspicions come and say, nobody loves me? Those are demons. Those are demons. Not nobody. There's people who don't like you, but there's people who love you. Demons love to attack new Christians, especially when it comes to the matters of church. How many of you ever heard, and don't raise your hands, nobody loves you in the church? Why even go there? Just be a Christian, read a Bible on your own and pray. You can be just as close to God as pastor. Yes, that's true. But you are part of the body of Christ. An arm, if you are an arm, you can't survive without the rest of the body. I've never seen people do good without a church. When they're not a part of the body. Just imagine a tree and a limb says, I'm not going to be a part of this tree anymore. Guess what? They'll dry up and die and be burned. That's what happens, people. And so demons come to especially young Christians and they attack them and they say, nobody loves you in a church. They just want your money. Well, they just want to use you. That's demons talking, people. And you got to recognize, remember, the battle is happening where? In the mind. Now, if you allow that battle to continue and you agree with it, guess what? You'll start acting on it. If you agree with those curses or cuss words that are in your mind against some person, against your mom, dad, or your co-workers, eventually it's going to burst out. It'll be like, bah! And you start cursing somebody. Come on. Listen. That's demons. And Bible says resist them. Let me help you here a little bit. Jesus, remember when he was tested in the wilderness? Do you think he heard physically a devil speaking to him? Or was it in his mind? If you are the Son of God. It was in his mind. But he was fasting for 40 days, so it was loud and clear. Because whenever physical senses are weak, your spirit is clear. And so Satan says, if you are the Son of God, if you are a Christian, how come this is happening to you? Have you ever had the devil said that to you? Who was talking to the devil, to Jesus? His own mind? The devil. Who's talking to you? Your own mind? The devil. It's the devil. And what did Jesus do? When he says, if you are the Son of God, if you're talented, well, how come this? If you're a Christian, well, how come this bad thing's happening to you? And Jesus said, shut up, devil. And what did he fought with? He fought with a sword. The sword is what? The word of God. He said, it is written. And if the devil says you're worthless, you're nothing, you're unsuccessful, you're a failure, you say it is written. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. When I'm weak, I'm strong. Even though I'm poor, I'm rich. You say words back from the word of God. But if you don't read the word of God, you don't know what to say. Just like the weather conditions have an effect on our physical body from the outside. Cold, rain, frost, warmth, sun, heat. So are demons from the inside through our mind. They have effect on our mental health. Now, how many of you know if your mental health is in good shape, your body responds and it is healthy and in good shape. But if your mental health, if you think of yourself, I'm nobody. And it's not just you thinking. Remember, it's demons. And then you start agreeing, but then it's you. See, demons don't have power over you except what they whisper. You're nothing. Look how Ruslan looking at me. Look at him. Look at him. He don't like me. I think everybody knows that I've sinned this Saturday. Look how they're all looking at me. I don't think I'm going to come to this church anymore because somebody told me to do my job. And I was late and supposed to do greeting or ushering, and somebody yelled at me. Oh, that's it. See, demons, they just speak to people's mind. And then you believe it. You act on it. And then, guess what? You suffer. Because if you resist them, you become stronger. If you go alone with it, you become weaker. So how many of you ever heard the voice of devil in your mind? How many do you fight on a weekly basis? Amen. Amen. And continue. Now, to some of you who are already fighting and defeating, if Satan can't get to you through your mind, he will get to you through the people closest to you. Jesus had Peter, was the closest disciple. And what happened? When Jesus said, I'm going to have to go and die on the cross, Peter started rebuking Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Stand behind me, Satan. Now Peter was, see, Satan wants to, the biggest job of Satan is to destroy your destiny. He says, if you're the Son of God, then show me something. But if you are the Son of God, I can give you all these things. You don't need to wait for God. I can give you all the kingdoms of the world. Said, it is written, Satan, those kingdoms already belong to me. Why would I even bow down to you? Adam bowed down to you and it created a lot of evil in this world. I came to be the second Adam and I will never bow down to you. So the biggest lesson today, what are you going to do with those thoughts that come to you? I'm never going to get married. Nobody loves me. I'm never going to be happy. Cast down the imagination. Works through your mind, through your imagination. He knows the strongest engine of your body is your mind. It's the factory of creativity. It's the factory of wisdom. It's the factory of your mind is powerful. Don't allow him there. And if people come against you, don't allow them to destroy. Because demons will work through people. As soon as you start getting out of poverty, your old friends will start saying, well, you don't like to hang out with us anymore? You don't want to buy me a beer anymore? No, I don't. I'm saving money now. You know, Satan will attack you any way he possibly can. The Bible says resist him and he will flee from you. Now, the Bible says that Jesus defeated demonic forces on the cross. So listen, they don't have power over you except what you will allow them through your mind. You allow them to tell you you're worthless. You will start acting like it, and demons will be sitting there. And then, listen, let me give you a quick illustration. We're praying. If a car, a very expensive car, 4x4, gets into the mud about 3 feet, doesn't matter how powerful it is, Doesn't matter all the GPS and bells and whistles and DVDs and all the stuff that's in it. If it's in the mud of 3 feet, it can't get out. It's stuck. You'll be spinning wheels. That's what Satan wants to do. He knows you're powerful. He knows of authority of a believer. He knows how much has been given to you through the Holy Spirit. The power you possess, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But as long as He keeps you in the mud, you're not going anywhere. And that's why a lot of Christians who are very anointed, who know the Bible, are stuck in the mud and just all in one spot. They're revving up the engine, not going anywhere. Get out of the mud. Stop listening to the devil. Stop having him attack your self-esteem. Say, shut up, devil. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. I'm anointed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm rich. I'm strong. Begin to confess it in your life. I'm not stupid. I'm not a reject of society. I'm not a reject of the whatever. I am special. I am a son or a daughter of God. Watch and watch how things will start changing in your life. I'm not saying I'm there completely, but I'm practicing what I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus had authority to cast out demons out of other people. But you know what? If anything, you have authority to cast out demons from yourself. It's called casting down imaginations. One thing you don't have to be afraid of is to cast down demons from yourself. If they start speaking to you, you get angry and you hear them loud and clear, cast them down through the word of God. I will not believe you, Satan. Stand behind me, Satan. Get out of my life, Satan. I will not listen to you. I will do opposite of what you tell me. You tell me to hate that person, I'm going to love that person. You tell me to hate my sibling, I'm going to love my sibling. You tell me to hate my employees, I'm going to love my employees. You tell me to hate my church, I'm going to love my church. Hallelujah. How many of you got something out of this today? People, we're growing. We're growing. We're going somewhere. We're not done. We're growing. Hallelujah. So if you're stuck in the mud, get out of the mud. Start confessing scripture, positive scriptures over your life. Maybe there's prophecies in your life, like Tom Stamets. Begin to confess them. Begin to confess them in your life. If you don't have any prophecies, go to this prophetic word, Bible says, and begin to confess these things. If the devil says you're sick, don't say, I'm healed. If your devil says, my family will be destroyed. And some of you married couples, listen to me. As soon as you have a little fight, this is how the demons speak to you. Start planning your escape, brother. Start planning your escape. Start hiding some money. Because this marriage is not going to work. Come on. You know the devil said that to you. I know he said it to me. Start making plans for divorce. It's not going to work. It's like a little fight. Come on, stupid devil. Shut up, fool. That's how he'll work with you. If you have low self-esteem, he says, oh, always be pitiful. Always like, oh, nobody loves me. Shut up, devil. I have people who love me. And if anything, God loves me. And the Bible says, woe to you if everybody loves you. So biblically, not everybody's supposed to love you. So that's good. Rejoice and say, wow, great. I have people who love me. I have people who don't love me. Hallelujah. If you decided to get out of debt, I'm going somewhere. I know I'm a little over. No, I'm not. I got a minute left. If you decided to get out of debt and devil tries to keep you in that bondage, resist him. He is a liar. Say, I will be out of debt. I decided this and it will. Mom's calling me first, so I got to finish it. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not ugly. You're not a loser. You got a life ahead of you. This is a young church. You're going somewhere. There's a great plan for your life. No, there is. You're not even close to it, buddy. No, I'm serious. I'm so serious. You're just starting. Listen to me. You're just starting. Now, Bible says, don't sin. But if you do sin, we have what? Jesus Christ, an advocate for our sins. So if you sinned even, you go back to him and says, he doesn't cast you out because you do. It's like saying a garden has no weeds. It's like saying a person has no sin. It's impossible, right? While on this earth. But we go back to him. He's our advocate. He forgives us our sins and helps us change.